It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Love for God with our whole being is the most important of all rules for living. Now notice this. To really love God, He must be number one in your life and in my life. That is true love for God, putting Him first in our lives. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Joshua 24:14. "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served." This would be tradition of our fathers. "On the other side of the flood." Now, God is talking here, and Joshua is speaking. He's pinning these things down. And he's saying to these people, you need to put away the gods that your fathers served. But we can look at that and say, well, this would be the tradition that came before. Now, if your fathers and your forefathers worshiped the true God, who is Jesus Christ, the Creator, if your forefathers said that you're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that is really not tradition. That is factual, coming from the Word of God. What I'm speaking of is anything that detracts or takes away from the blood and the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Joshua's talking about here. You need to get rid of any gods, anything that you're worshiping other than the true God. And he goes on to say, and in Egypt, we need to stay away from the world. Egypt, if you've studied the Word of God, and most Bible expositors would agree that Egypt is a type of the world. And we need to get away from the things of the world and serve ye the Lord, Joshua says. We need to serve the Lord. Well, God is number one. Is God number one in your life? And you need to ask yourself that question right now. Is He number one? Well, let's look at number two. Number one is God, and number two is the home. Notice this. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. This is an order, if you would, concerning the home. Genesis 1:27, the first part of that verse says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him." Secondly, we see woman. Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 24. It says, "And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to all the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now man is always trying to improve or trying to copy or duplicate what God has done. I believe, you know, we hear a lot about cloning today, of taking one cell and turning it into something or someone or an animal that is identical to the animal or whatever it was taken out of, and creating an identical person or a thing. Well, God did this back in the book of Genesis. It says in verse 22, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." I believe that they were so closely related that we could say they were cloned, that woman was cloned from man. Taken from man, and I believe they resembled each other. And not until later on do we see that the woman's name was given, and this was given by Adam after the fall, after he sinned. The woman's name was Eve. And up until that point, up until after the fall, there was no difference in the names. The man, it talks about man upon the earth. Well, we see man, and we see woman. And then, Number three, we see children. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Now notice chapter 1 and verses 27 and 28 of Genesis. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Well, we see a progression here. We see man, we see woman, and we see children. First, it's God. God created all things. He was before everything and anyone and everything. And then we see that man came on the scene. And now we see that children are on the scene. The home. Well, I'd like to go a little further here, and I'd like to look at some of these people and break them down for us to understand something. Notice the word husbands. Colossians 3:19 says, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it." So we see in the home, husbands. And then we see fathers. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." First we see husbands, then we see a father. We see this father is to raise his children right according to what God says, not what the humanist says, but what God says. And then we see women or wives. In Genesis 3:16, "Unto the woman he said," this is God speaking, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, it says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, nor given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober." This doesn't have anything to do with being drunk or anything. It talks about being serious here, this word sober. It says there to love their husbands, to love their children. This is the home. "To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." There's an order here. First we see God, then we see the home. We see man, woman, children. We see husbands and wives and fathers. And then we see them grouped together, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I believe that some take this verse out of context. They seem to go about, if their child does not turn out exactly right, although they've done everything they can do to bring that child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they have taken that child to church, they've read the scriptures, they've done everything they possibly can, and all of a sudden, their child is out in the world living, and if you pardon the expression, living like the devil. And so many parents are beating themselves up today because that child has not turned out exactly the way they think that child should go and turn out, not the way they believe God would have that child turn out. And they beat themselves up and they start thinking, what have I done wrong? Well, first of all, if you've raised that child in a Christian home, in a Christian church, a church that teaches and preaches the Word of God, if you've trained that child in the best that you know how according to the Scriptures, then you need to understand that every individual in this world is accountable to God. Not only you, but your child as well. Now, when I say child, that child could be 30 years old and out in the world. But that person is accountable to God, and that person has to make a decision for Jesus Christ just like you did. God does not force salvation on anyone. Salvation comes when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. He speaks to our heart, and we understand that we're lost, we're sinners, And we need something in order to go to heaven. And what we need and who we need is Jesus Christ. He is the only way to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And that's through Jesus Christ. And you say, well, you know, the Bible still says that he will not depart from it. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think about Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve, according to the scriptures, the Bible says that they sinned. And it was by one man, that's Adam, that sin entered into the world. They were lost at that point. Well, God, the Bible teaches us that the coats of skins were provided. God himself, I believe, shed the blood of innocent animals. And this is a representation of God, Jesus Christ, shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary and taking away our sin. Well, back in the Garden of Eden, after the sin occurred there, after the fall, God clothed these two people, Adam and Eve, with these coats of skin. And I believe that's a representation of being saved. And I believe that Adam and Eve did their best to raise their children according to the admonition of the Lord. They knew they had done wrong, but they knew how to be saved at that point. Well, what is my point? My point is this, that they did everything they could do, I believe, to raise their children right. But yet, one of them was a murderer. One of them did not turn out the way that they had anticipated. Cain slew Abel. He was a murderer. So when we stop to think of it, the first family that we see in the Word of God, we see Adam and Eve and their children. And I believe that they would have raised and they would have done everything they could do to let their children know about how to be saved, that the blood cleanses from all sin, but yet one of their children turned out to be a murderer. I'm not telling you to ease up. I'm not telling you to be lax in your training of your children or your child or whom God has placed within your reach to help. I'm not telling you to stop training that child. I'm telling you that you cannot force salvation, morality, or anything else upon another person. That person must choose the right way to go, even if that person is your child. Well, notice, husbands and wives, once again, fathers and mothers, Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. That's an admonition from the Lord. We're to do that. And when he is old, he will not depart from. And I believe he will remember to his dying days that you have done what you can do and that God has done what he can do and that God has offered salvation. Join me next time as we continue our study about the practical local church. So far, we've looked at the subject of God. We've looked at the home. We'll continue that next time. And next time also, we'll look at the local church. What constitutes the local church? Well, actually, where should the local church be in our lives as saved people? Well, let me ask you this. Has there been a time when you've asked Jesus to save you? If not, you can know him today as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, or in other words, the children of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why not do that today? Admit you're a sinner, you can't save yourself, and you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. May the Lord bless you richly is my prayer as you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.